Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Coming to you from opposite corners of Gitnoma Nation, it's Thursday, February 19th, 2009.
This is No Agenda.
Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
From Gitmo Nation East in the Crackpot Command Center in Southwest London, I'm Adam Curry.
And I hope that's not a recording. I'm John C. Dvorak here in the Gitmo Nation, Silicon Valley North, California.
What do you mean you hope it's not a recording?
Well, it sounds like you transitioned from all those little jingles that people want copies of, by the way.
Yeah, no, well, they want copies of the Obama stuff, which I'm not giving away.
No. They don't want that. They can get those.
We got a whole slew. Jan Paulette, who does the hit test, put together a whole package for us.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak. This is No Agenda.
Menacing sounds. Really important news. Important information. Isn't that great?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff. But it sounds like you sound like part of the recording. That's how slick it is.
Oh, no, that donut. Yeah, no, I put it in there. How cool is that?
It's totally cool.
Although I flubbed it. Did you hear me flub it?
No, I was so befuddled that I didn't pay. I don't think anyone noticed until you just now mentioned it.
I should do it again just to make it right.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
Coming to you from opposite corners of Gitmo Nation, it's Thursday, February 19th, 2009.
This is No Agenda.
In the morning.
Okay, now I'm right.
What? What was the flub?
No, I flubbed earlier. That was live.
Oh, see, I can't tell.
Yeah, I said Gitmo Nation. It didn't come out right.
Oh, I heard you say something weird, and yeah. I was thinking, but I was still so baffled by this. Is the thing about this kind of stuff. This is a that we got the note from the hypnotist that told us this kind of thing. It scrambles the brain.
Of course. Well, that's the whole point. In fact, I even looked for some specific music to roll out before we actually got started on the show to get people into the right mode, tune them into our frequency so we can start injecting important information into their brains.
I think that's a necessary thing to do.
But when you hear that kind of opening with that menacing music, it I think it prepares people. You know, like, oh, important information coming. I've got to pay attention.
It could.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we're getting there.
Hey, John, let me tell you, this two no agendas a week, I'm really liking it, man. It's almost, I'm so excited. I haven't been this excited since high school dating.
I don't think that needs comment.
I wish you could reciprocate on that.
I just don't think I can come up with anything to top that. High school dating.
Oh, man.
I wasn't really a big fan of high school dating. I didn't date that. I mean, I usually had a steady.
I never, ever, ever got laid. Never. I'm not kidding you.
You got laid eventually.
Yeah, eventually. When I was on television, I started to get laid.
I wonder why that was.
Mm. Oh, it's not like I didn't know it, but people don't believe it when I say that I do not know how to pick up women. I just don't.
Well, you,
Now I just flash my gold bar. Hey, baby.
That is... The way that, you know, I think the way to as somebody once said to me, they learn how to pick up women by learning how to lie to them. I think kind of summarized everything. And I recall the days when I first went to New York City during the era when New York was a 24-hour town, which it isn't really anymore compared to where it was in the 70s. And the First and Second Avenue bar scene was really happening. I mean, it was unbelievable. There's these different bar scenes in different major metropolitan areas. Like in San Francisco, there used to be Union Street, used to be like this. It's not anymore. And Rush Street used to be like that in Chicago. Now it's still kind of a scene, but it's nothing like it was, you know, in the 1980s, for example. And Athens has a little area which still is hot, and Istanbul has an area that's even hotter, which is kind of a surprise since it's a Muslim country. And so I was hanging out in this, I think, one of these First or Second Avenue bars uptown.
And this is in the 80s? When was this?
This was probably in the late 70s or early 80s. I can't remember.
Right after Prohibition for you, probably.
It was, yeah, something like that. So anyway, I'm in there, and I'm listening to these pickup artists. And it was like, holy crap, pal. Nobody believes you're a producer for CBS. You think this girl's going to believe that?
If only I could find an unknown.
Seriously. And he just gave her this song and dance. Because I overheard it. I was just like, my ear just got bigger.
Bloom and I used to do that when we had an office in Los Angeles with Think New Ideas. And just for yucks, we'd do that at fancy restaurants. We'd say, yeah, man, if only can find an unknown for this role. Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it? And it was amazing. Of course, Bloom, back in his day, major player. Major.
So you could have done this if you wanted to.
Nah. So there's no chat room. We're off the chat room. We're now using Twitter. John, you're just using the website for Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also I don't get Twitter on any machine except the other machine and the one at the Mevio office. I can't figure
really?
Out why.
You know,
I changed my password. Doesn't work.
I have had an amazing week of Twitter. I downloaded this thing called TweetDeck, which I heard people talking about.
Never heard of it.
It's amazing. It's like
what does it do?
It's like a command console, and it actually I'll take a picture of it for you so you can take
TweetDeck.
TweetDeck, yeah. What's so cool about it, besides, you know, you're the people you follow and replies and direct messages, you can set up panels with searches, with Boolean logic searches. Hold on.
And search through the whole database?
Well, no, you don't search it. It updates automatically. So I have Obama, Canada. And so whenever someone Twitters something about Obama or Canada, and you can do a Boolean and or, you can do minus, you know, all the typical things. It automatically shows up. And there's also this thing from TwitScoop, which is a tag cloud. And so right now I can see that in Twitter land, big words are Obama, Yelp, Christ, darn, leadership. MTV is big right now for some reason. And you click on any of those tags and then it... I'm sorry, I'm just getting...
What the heck was that? You taking my picture?
Yeah. Busted. I got you. Hold on. I want to send this to you so you can see it. But it's fascinating. And you know, so I've really gotten into it. And I like it a lot. You know, I know I'm late to this party. But, jeez, this thing is just absolutely phenomenal. And I added like 2,000 subscribers in the past couple of days. Maybe I'm sending it to you. You getting it?
I'm going to in a second.
Okay.
It's probably going to screw up our Skype feed,
yeah, it's been pretty good. But there's a lot to this thing. It does, you know, and it has retweet options. It's just all kinds of amazing ways to access. Really, I mean, this, I got to hand it to these guys. You know, if you can remove yourself from the kind of, it's an IRC chat room, the functionality, which is pretty basic, is great when people add little apps on top of it, connecting into the API. There you go. Downloaded.
You're talking about Twitter, not this thing.
Well, this ties into the Twitter API.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
See how it's set up?
Yeah, I think it should be white on black. I'm
yeah,
say
you can't.
Black
con- yeah, you can't control the. I don't think you can control the skin.
Hard to read.
Yeah, but that's. Put on your glasses, Grandpa. It'll work better.
No, it's not that. It's just the contrast is wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, I don't think it's available for Windows. I think it's, or maybe it is. No, it's Adobe Air. Of course it is.
Oops.
It's an Air app. Anyway.
Oh, one of the first of the Air apps.
Mm-hmm.
I'll check it out sometime.
Yeah, so anyway, so people use these hashtags. So our hashtag, of course, is no agenda. So that way that, you know, you don't have to remember to type in at Adam Curry or at the real Dvorak. You just do your hashtag. It's cool.
Okay. Well, good. People can send you notes as we do the show.
Yeah, I'm not going to respond. I'm just saying.
So,
dude, I have so much shit to talk about. There is just so
well,
much.
Well, let's
going
talk
on.
About these tax breaks for the rich. It's really bugging me.
Wait a minute. Where do you see tax breaks for the rich?
Oh, that's what Obama's up to. This whole thing is tax. This is what the Pelosi bill is. It's tax breaks for the rich while the poor.
What, the $75 billion?
Well, let's just go over this one.
Because I've done quite a bit of investigation on the $75 billion.
I'll give you this little one here. This was analyzed here at on the Business Insider website. Obama stimulus saves Microsoft billionaire hundreds of millions. Oh,
that's the stimulus package.
Yeah.
Okay, because we have three things happening now. We have the $790 billion stimulus package.
Which is a tax break for the rich.
Okay, I want to hear that in a second. We have the $75 billion homeowner bailout, which I've researched extensively. And then we still have the financial stimulus. Don't we? Don't we have another financial stimulus for the banks?
Yeah, but that's not a tax break for the rich.
No, it's not. No, but I'm just talking about the giveaways. So I have looked through this thing, the stimulus package. I'm pretty amazed by when is something an earmark and when is something not an earmark? Is it not an earmark if you put it in at the beginning? Is that how it works?
I don't know. I never thought about it. I thought anything that just had nothing to do with anything that was in the bill, whether it was put in at the beginning or the end, and it just designated money going to here specifically was an earmark.
Well, that's so Pelosi's Save the Field Mouse, which was in the bill from the get-go. Pelosi's Save the Field Mouse.
Wait, I'm sorry? It sounds like you're saying Pelosi's Save the Field Mouse as if there's something in the bill.
Yes.
To save mice.
Yes, that's correct.
Rodents.
Yes, that's correct. There is.
We have field mice around here. They're a nuisance.
Yes. Well, this is a protected one. That's exactly what I'm saying. Pelosi's. That's what it's called. Pelosi's Save the Field Mice.
And it's called Pelosi's Save the Field Mouse?
No, it's in the stimulus package. You haven't heard about this?
No, she wants to save a mouse?
Yes.
And she wants to spend money on this?
A lot of money.
Wait a minute. In times of economic distress, she wants to spend money on saving some crappy mouse?
$30 million. I'm amazed you hadn't heard about that.
Well, why? I haven't heard of it. Well, you're in the Bay Area. They don't let us know about stuff like that.
But this
generally.
Is in the Bay Area.
Well, that's the point. They don't want to tell us anything. Because we have roads with potholes, you know. You got to drive down the street here. It's like unbelievable. You got to get new shocks every couple months.
Well, isn't your entire state government right now sleeping overnight together and trying to figure that out? Because you know they've fired people, they've furloughed people, the tax refunds aren't coming. There's a lot going on in California.
So Pelosi wants to save a mouse and spend $30 million doing it.
Yeah, that's just
what does it take?
Thing.
I mean, what's the $30 million for? Why does it take so much money to save a mouse?
Dude, I don't know.
Is it endangered?
Yes.
Oh, a mouse is endangered. Isn't that a good thing?
A tiny mouse with a long time backing of political giant. I'm just Googling it to find it for you. He is very cute. Not $30 million cute. But that's minor. That's who cares? Anyway, it's tax breaks for the rich. Explain it, John, because that would mean me. I want to know how I want to know how I can benefit.
Okay, hang on. Billionaire Paul Allen is, I'm going to read it. Billionaire Paul Allen is a Microsoft co-founder, the owner of the NFL Seattle Seahawks, and the owner of the Portland Trail Blazers. And thanks to the stimulus bill President Obama signed this week, he's about to be as much as $1 billion richer. Here's how. Allen owns a majority stake in cable provider Charter Communications. Charter Communications this month said it would reduce its debt load by $8 billion and enter Chapter 11. How can you not make money with a cable company? Normally, partners at a firm like Charter would have to pay taxes on the amount of the debt forgiven in this process, which is, in a sense, a one-time income windfall. Tax law calls it a deemed distribution. But under the new bill, companies like Charter Communications will be able to avoid paying taxes on forgiven debt until 2014. Even then, Paul will have until 2018 to pay it off completely. Paul owns about half of Charter, so a share of Charter Communications' $8 billion debt forgiveness is around $4 billion. At a tax rate of 25%, Allen could avoid paying as much as $1 billion in taxes until 2014. tax expert Robin Williams told the Wall Street Journal.
But that means you have to make money first, right?
What do you mean?
Well, you don't pay taxes if you don't make, you don't pay corporate taxes if you don't make money.
Well, you don't pay, yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, yeah. Right, but he is making money on this deal.
Oh, okay, because you said, how do you not make money with a cable company?
Oh, how do you not make money with a cable company? Well, that's what I'd like to know. I don't know how you don't make money with a cable company.
Well, is he making money or not?
No, he's not. Well, I don't know if he's making money. I'm just saying that they're going bankrupt. It doesn't mean he's not making money. Mm. I mean, all these companies go bankrupt left and right, and guys are taking home tons. The point is, it's a tax break for the rich.
Well, there's certainly a lot in there. And I've been trying to, it's difficult because people talk about all these different stimuli package, and you get confused after a while, you know, what's going where.
Right.
And, I was quite amazed by this $75 billion homeowner affordability and stability plan, which was announced in Denver, right? Right after he signed the stimulus package.
Yeah, I thought it was announced before that.
Well, so here's the thing. So I'm going to recovery.gov a lot because I want to find out how it's being spent. And, of course, there's no mention of the $75 billion. I delve a little bit deeper. This is, and I'm not quite sure how this works, but the $75 billion is apparently coming out of the initial Freddie Mae, Fannie Mae bailout. And by increasing the money they received by $200 billion, which I guess, it's hard to read these bills. I guess they can do that. But I really don't understand even if it's going to cost any money at all, because I've looked at this, because the idea is a certain percentage of American homeowners will get a break. But the break, it seems like phantom money. Go figure. Because every example they give, if you go to whitehouse.gov, then they send you over to treasury.gov, and there you can finally find something. It's all very transparent, as long as you're willing to search long enough. So if you have basically what this housing bailout does is it lowers your monthly payment, yet it's basically everyone gets a refinancing. So they have an example here. Your existing mortgage, you have a balance of $199,584 with 27 years remaining at a 6.5 interest rate. Your monthly payment is $1,308. After the plan, if you qualify...
How do you qualify? Do you know?
Oh yeah. They don't have a handy little calculator, but there's a whole bunch of rules. It's like the house can't be more than $400,000 over its multiple family dwelling, $750,000. If you're up to 105% equity, there's a couple of things. I don't think a lot of people will qualify.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Certainly not the people that are really going to get hurt the most. But this is Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. So this is subprime mortgages. So anyway, so after you get helped by this plan, the balance is now $203,575. You have 30 years to repay it. Your interest rate goes from 6.5 to 5.16, therefore reducing your monthly payment by $196. But basically, it's a refi. You're paying back more at a lower rate. And every single example has that. So here's,
you can do that now.
Well, if the banks... So basically, they're forcing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to do that. But I don't see where it costs any money. So here's example B.
Well, that's because these people aren't rich.
Right. But they're getting screwed.
The whole thing is to benefit the rich. It's for the bankers, and now Paul Allen, he gets $1 billion in tax breaks.
But it's crazy because, they could lower the interest right now. Just say, hey, you know what, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, you're at 6.5% now. Just lower it to 5.16. Done. No.
Yeah, and recalculate.
But instead of that, they're saying, oh, yeah, okay, we'll do that.
That
would
be a direct benefit. Benefit to the public.
Exactly. This is a deficit to the public because you're paying more for your house. You just have lower monthly payments. So it's
right, which is what the scam was to begin with.
Jeez, unbelievable. Every single example is that. So I don't understand how it's going to cost any money. But the American public, because you know this is, well, not, I'm sorry, not the American public, the Twittering American public, which I think is still smaller than many believe. I don't think it's big, but not humongous big.
Once the celebrities got into it, it could change things really fast.
Yeah, but still, you know, if I look at TwitScoop, you know, when something's really hot, it's still only like 30 tweets a minute. That constitutes a very hot topic. So
maybe
let's not. Yeah, no. They have charts. You can see it. Mm. But what's so disappointing is that, just like many other promises that were made, people are, you know, saying, "Hey, shut up, Curry. You know, at least it's transparency. Go to recovery.gov." And I go to recovery.gov. There's no information there. It just tells you what they're gonna do. But there's no. You know, there's nothing there yet. I was looking for the $75 billion. Nothing. And I think people just believe that, oh, yeah, recovery.gov. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's well, that's transparency right there.
And they and you sound like Stewie.
Someone's got to stop him. Karl Rove wrote an awesome, and I don't give a shit about Rove. I know you follow him. But he wrote an awesome op-ed in... The Wall Street Journal yesterday. Have you seen it?
No.
So his what's the title? Is the administration winging it? I like that very much.
Wing it.
but he latches on to something that we've been talking about. He says, go away. Team Obama was winging it when they declared the stimulus would, quote, save or create 2.5 million, then 3 million, then 3.7 million, and then 4 million new jobs. These were arbitrary and erratic numbers, and they knew there's no way to count saved jobs. Thank you. Finally, someone says it. Finally. And then he goes,
I'm surprised. How come the media doesn't chime in?
Because they're hypnotized. They're hypnotized. That's why. And if you go to recovery.gov, they have a little map of, you know, that shows how many jobs are going to be saved or created, and you roll over the map, and it says 40,000 jobs saved or created. It's like, give me a break. No big fan of Karl Rove.
I can't stand. You know, the more you talk about this, the more it makes me itch.
Well, it's angering. It really is that the media is not calling out and just saying
on the public. You know, they don't. You know, well, yeah. Now the latest thing is the latest thing you run into constantly is the guy's only been in office for 3 weeks.
Yeah, give him a break, man. Give him a break. Well, let me tell you. I didn't have enough time to find the audio, but I was looking for the speech that Obama gave where he says, no lobbyists, that's not going to happen in my, and the crowd was going wild, you know, it's not going to happen in my administration. You'll have 5 days before any bill gets out there. I'm like, fail, that didn't happen. We didn't get to see any bill for 5 days. And he took an extra day of vacation, you know, so it easily could have been put up online. But I did take the liberty of putting together a list of lobbyists in the Obama administration. You ready?
Uh-oh.
You got a minute?
Yeah, I guess.
Eric Holder, Attorney General, registered on behalf of Global Crossing. Tom Vilsack, Secretary of Agriculture.
That name ring a bell?
No, he's Monsanto. No, Monsanto, we talked about that.
Oh, Monsanto.
And he's Secretary of Agriculture. Registered to lobby as recently.
Have all the vegans out there, they're going to love that.
Registered to lobby as recently as last year on behalf of the National Education Association. William Lynn, Deputy Defense Secretary, registered to lobby as recently as last year for Raytheon. William Corr, Deputy Health and Human Services Secretary, registered to lobby for the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. And I'm against that. We should be pushing tobacco on kids. David Hayes, Deputy Interior Secretary, lobbyist for San Diego Gas and Electric. Mark Patterson, Chief of Staff.
Now wait, hold on a second. You're reading a list of lobbyists. These aren't people that are actually in the administration.
Yes, they're in the administration. What do you mean they're not in the
administration? They can't be because they said right off the bat there's not going to be a bunch of lobbyists all over the place.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're being facetious. It took me a second. I had to bite. I'll give you a couple more. Chief of Staff to Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner was registered to lobby for Goldman Sachs. Ron Klain, Chief of Staff to Vice President Joe Biden, registered to lobby for Asbestos Resolution, U.S. Airways. Interesting. U.S. Airways. Airborne Express and drug maker ImClone. That's Martha Stewart's company, isn't it? ImClone?
Yeah, ImClone.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it's a small world.
Mona Sutphen, Deputy White House Chief of Staff, registered to lobby for Anglis International. Melody Barnes, Domestic Policy Counselor. The list goes on and on and on and on.
Oh, I don't know why you stopped.
I can't. It's too depressing. And there's not a... Is the media really controlled, John? I mean...
They're stupid.
It must. Well, there's also, remember, I was in corporate media with Viacom at MTV, and it was kind of the same thing. You did not say anything bad about any Warner Brothers act when the MTV Music Awards were coming up, because then you could know that Madonna wouldn't perform. You know, and so this was a very cultural thing. In fact, you couldn't make jokes about artists ever. Ever.
You know, Madonna would, hey, screw you guys.
that's exactly how it used to
work. You don't like my hair? Well, shove it.
It's exactly how it used to work, man. Exactly how it used to work. And so
well, that's
the
way it works
thing.
In all corporate media. I mean, people will say, well, you know, you guys are just, you know, they always say, well, you know, you guys don't say anything bad about these guys or that guys because they're advertisers. No, that's not true. But there is a tendency to be circumspect in certain situations, especially like if you go after your own properties. Right. I mean, it's always funny to see some meta gags on The Simpsons or Family Guy. Mm. Where I remember this one episode of The Family Guy where Peter says, you know, first it starts off, it's actually a good clip. He says, you know, I don't understand why there's so much violence on TV. Why doesn't the government step in and tell us what to watch? And then he says, and then they have to blame the networks. These networks, why do they put this garbage on the air? And then Lois says, Peter, don't, you shouldn't be talking about the network. He says, what? Why can't I talk about the network? What are they going to do? Cut our budget? And then he says, I'm going to go get a beer. And then they just have him as kind of a solid drawing that just kind of bops back and forth, unmoving into the kitchen, you know, where there's, in other words, there's no animation at all. And,
they froze
it. But that's a fact.
It is.
People have to get used to that.
Part of the stimulus bill is there's a lot of money going to Acorn. Have you found that yet in the stimulus bill?
No, I can't. But I don't believe it's true because it looks corrupt. Wasn't he once with Acorn and now he's just giving them money?
Yeah. It's hold on. Stimulus. Yeah, I'm pretty sure they were getting like a lot of money.
Huh. Well, I think this will come out.
4.1 billion. The Acorn.
What?
Yeah.
4.1 billion?
Yes.
To a community organizing company?
Yes.
Wow. Man, we're in the wrong business.
No kidding. You think? What's interesting is that Acorn today announced something. They announced a new tactic, civil disobedience. So I'm not quite sure how you can take money from the government. Here it is. Here's the press release. February 19th, Acorn members will launch a new tactic in fighting foreclosures, civil disobedience. Participants in the Acorn Home Savers campaign nationwide will simply refuse to move out of foreclosed homes, or in some cases will move back in. Acorn homesteaders intend to squat in their homes until a comprehensive federal solution for people facing foreclosure is put into place. I guess the $75 billion wasn't enough for them then. It's crazy.
That's great. I mean, that's biting the hand that feeds you. That's why I admire that.
Well, I don't know if it's biting the hand that feeds you or taking directions. At this point,
I know you're more skeptical.
I'm very scared. I'm very, very scared. Listen. I'm sorry. I apologize. I shouldn't say that. It seems like it's all on purpose.
Well, it could be. I mean, but you might be right. It might be like, okay, here's your $75 billion, or how many billion? That $4 billion, whatever they get.
4.1, yeah.
4.1 billion here. Now, here's what we want you to do. We want you to make a big stink about these foreclosures so we can enact some other, you know, socialist, fascist, you know, government control thing. So just do your thing. Knock yourself out.
Very possible.
We promise we won't beat anybody up too badly.
Yeah, we'll only tase you. Don't worry.
Maybe. Could be.
Meanwhile, there's a new actor on the scene in the White House. Peter Orszag. Orszag. There you go. O-R-S-Z-A-G. And this guy is in charge of the $75 billion program. Wait a minute. Maybe he's in charge of the stimulus package. No, I'm sorry. He's in charge of the stimulus package. He's the guy in the White House who was going to... he's the budget director. Okay, so it's his. It's right there on whitehouse.gov. It's a news item, no less. Hold on, let me find it. The news item's even funnier. Wait until you hear about this guy. Hey, people out there, you know, now that we've got you hypnotized, and I know you're paying attention, when they announce a name, Google it. It's kind of fun. It's a fun little game. Press releases. I love whitehouse.gov. Press releases. Maybe it's under the blog. Anyway, let me tell you about this guy. Israeli, by the way, which kind of fits with Rahm Emanuel.
Oh, yeah. He's going to bring in a bunch of his pals from Israel.
So this guy, besides being an advisor to Rahm Emanuel and Bill Clinton on NAFTA, he was recently advisor to the Central Bank of Iceland.
Ah!
Is that a
kicker? The only bankrupt country in the world.
It killed me when I saw that.
That is rich.
Isn't that fantastic?
How can the people out there, the pundits, columns, everybody else, let this is gold.
Of course it's
just
gold.
Just slide right by them.
It's so amazing.
It's gold.
Yeah, yeah. We need a TV station, John. No, we don't. We just need to turn on. Well, we don't. Fuck it. We don't need that. We're doing fine as is.
It's hilarious.
Isn't that great?
Oh, that's a kick. That's a 10. You. That's the topper. We can close the show.
Good night, everybody. We'll be here next week.
I've been telling you. That's great. This is like the old thing that happens in professional sports where they get, you know, one loser after another. This is like a club. You know, yeah, well, he bankrupted the whole guy. Ah, bring him in. We need, you know, he's a good guy. He likes to, you know, he's like scotch. We're scotch drinkers. Let's bring him in. You know, he's a good guy.
Here it is. Setting the bar high. Just looking
at the bar high.
This is from the White
House. The bar where they drink the scotch.
This is from the White House blog. Just looking at recovery.gov, it might not be immediately clear what an enormous undertaking it will be to ensure the transparency and accountability that the president expects will be upheld. It's going to require an unprecedented level of vigilance, a fundamental shift in the way the federal government spends your tax dollars, from the Oval Office down to every department and agency awarding funds from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. That is why Peter Orszag, the director of the Office of Management and Budget, has sent a memo to the heads of those departments and agencies explaining what's expected of them and offering advice for how to meet those high standards. It's only 5 points if you want to hear them.
Jeez, keep going. Is that it?
Now, funds are awarded and distributed in a prompt, fair, and reasonable manner. Whenever you see the word reasonable in a directive or a contract, run. Reasonable is like, that's the stuff lawsuits are made of. The recipients and uses of all funds are transparent to the public, like Stewie. And the public benefits of these funds are reported clearly, accurately, and in a timely manner. Funds are used for authorized purposes, and instances of fraud, waste, error, and abuse are mitigated. Mitigated? What does that mean?
It means it's resolved in some way instantly.
Let's read it again. Funds are used for authorized purposes, and instances of fraud, waste, error, and abuse are mitigated.
Yeah, it means they're fixed. Somehow.
Anyway.
That's just as written by some Lindsay Nagel character, some person that's a cartoon.
It's a blogger because it's on the White House blog. But anyway, I just thought
like it's written by a public relations person, if you ask me.
Well, isn't that what the White House blog is all about?
I'm just saying. It's not written by a blogger.
Funny, though, huh? That he was the advisor to the Central Bank of Iceland. Yeah, that's a CV you want. That's the entry.
I think he would have suppressed that. I guess they got into the point where they don't have to, you know, they got all these lobbyists, like tons of them, and they just list them, and they're totally transparent. And they figure it goes like this. It's like, you know, you see, yeah, I robbed you the other day. Oh, whatever. I mean, it's like apparently they've decided, and I think there's some rationale for this, that the public is so stupid and gullible that you can tell them anything, and you just you throw some other, you know, you just sugarcoat it in some way and deny stuff. You know, like the character in the Monty Python movie had his arms chopped off. It's just a flesh wound
from the piano that closed on his hands.
and the public said, okay, whatever. You know, no, they said he's not going to have any lobbyists.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Not really lobbyists.
I'm getting something in here, John. Traders on Wall Street revolting. CNBC has like some kind of flash bulletin. Hold on. Let's see what this is.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be.
That's kind of creepy. That's from GP1477. Here, let's listen in. Let's see if we can see anything. It says revolting right now.
Inventories have crashed. The inventory problem, according to the California Realtors in 2008, has come down substantially, and the selling time for home sales has shrunk. In other words, markets will solve this problem in ways that this mortgage subsidy will not. That's my point. There are states.
Nah, Kudlow. I don't know.
Kudlow. That's Kudlow.
Yeah.
So
well, I don't see no big revolt.
You know, CNBC is a little bit on the
They had a
sensationalistic
great
side. I mean, that's just one step away. I mean, they actually feel threatened by Fox, I think.
CNBC is pretty much the E Entertainment of Wall Street. You know, so E Entertainment, the E channel, is pretty much what everyone has to be watching in show business. You know, every executive office you come into, it's on. And CNBC is on continuously all across the trading floor. They've got the subtitle, the closed captions on. Yesterday, though, they had a great piece of news, which really hasn't made much of the mainstream press. But partners at Goldman Sachs are now having to borrow tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars because they got margin calls against stock that they've borrowed against.
Oh.
And this is bad. this is the stuff that bad days are made of when you get margin call on your own company stock.
Yeah, that's not a good thing for them.
No.
Well, that's good about the idea that the inventory is dropping in California. I can get out of this miserable state. This place is going under.
Did you see Bernanke by any chance yesterday?
No.
It was unwatchable. He came out and he did this.
Oh,
whole,
the guy. I think he's loaded.
In which way? As in drunk loaded?
Well, you be the judge.
He started off, and so the press is so gullible. They're laughing all the time. They laugh at these press conferences. You know, and by the way, you know, the guy sometimes makes a funny joke, just like Obama. You know, there's always some humor, but the press corps is always so ruddy. It's so funny. So Bernanke comes out. He says, you know, it's a really bad situation, and I just want you to know that even my family home that I grew up in has been foreclosed on. I'm like, this guy's a billionaire. A billionaire. And the press goes, whoa, a billionaire. And he has the audacity to say that.
The audacity of hope.
Yes.
In his case, it'd be the audacity of dope.
My family home has been foreclosed on. Jeez. Yeah. Ah, disgusting.
I think you're getting a little too into this.
Well, you're right, because what I see it happening, you know. So, how do we distract attention away from the real news? So, one way is to say, "Hey, we found another Madoff." Because the press loves it. That's all the press will talk about.
And this new Madoff, by the way, is a million times better than the old Madoff.
Well, of course, because it involves
the first Madoff had no drama. He basically got caught, gave everybody the finger, moved into his Park Avenue apartment, which is huge, and he's living it up. He was 70 years old. He didn't go out much anyway.
This guy at least ran away. You know, that's kind of cool. I like that.
You know, the latest, right?
What's that?
He was under investigation by the FBI.
For drugs.
They got pissed. Yeah, maybe a money laundering operation. They got pissed off at the SEC for busting him because they were surveilling him, I guess, trying to catch them. One of the most violent of the Mexican drug cartels.
Does this not prove my point, which we've discussed on this program many times, that Wall Street is nothing more than a laundering operation for drug money? I mean, here's the proof right there. And let me ask you this. Who broke this story? Where did this story come from all of a sudden? Because apparently the guy's attorneys for Stanford... went to the SEC last year, so that could be December, but I think it was around November. So they were
No, it was he was first being looked at in 2007.
Yeah, for the drugs, but not by the SEC.
Oh, for the drugs, right.
But the SEC was sitting on this information as well, and now all of a sudden it's breaking news, and there's a lot of stuff happening, which I believe is meant to cover it up. But who broke the story? Where did it come from? Why is it all of a sudden news?
Well, that's a good question, because these things seem to be leaked out in some sort of a concerted effort. Now, I knew about this because Horowitz and I had talked about it on our podcast before it broke, because he has a friend working there.
Mm.
Who, by the way, he said he did have this friend who's working there, had to call him back like a couple of days ago and describe the scene where the feds come plowing into the office, you know, basically kicking down the doors, pulling out all the plugs of all the computers, you know, rounding everybody up and telling him to get the hell out. He says, which was very unnerving.
No kidding.
Yeah, well, that's definitely one of the for the financial folks, this has got to be one of the more interesting things. The guy's taken off. He's tried to get out of the country. He apparently tried to rent a jet, you know, a private plane.
I heard a helicopter. I heard he tried to rent a helicopter, and his credit card was denied.
I didn't hear about the helicopter, but I know about the jet where he's trying to fly to Antigua, which doesn't make any sense if you think about it, because they're going to kill him when he gets there.
Yeah.
I mean, the soccer or the cricket team that he owns will kill him.
Well, now this is why it's big news over here in the UK, because of the cricket team sponsorship. And this guy is a sir. He was, you know, they literally carried this guy around, you know, idolized. And on Dvorak.org/blog, I saw a great story and accompanying video. You should go there and take a look at it of this guy hugging Nancy Pelosi and Bill Clinton. You know, of course, Bill Clinton, I believe, the biggest drug trafficker in our history. Just go look up Mena, Arkansas. You'll learn more. Yeah, he was pimping him out. I mean, it's disgusting. Disgusting. It's just more proof for me that the whole thing is a fractal.
So anyway, so apparently he went to get this jet, and I guess he threw down his American Express Black,
and which is a classic
car to own.
And it got declined.
Yeah, which is not supposed to be possible.
That's funny.
If you have an American Express Black, which, by the way, for anybody out there, you have to have some. You have to be invited. You have to have like $1 million a year income or more, or something. And then you have to have, and you have to pay, I think the fee is $10,000 a year just to have the card.
Yeah.
Which is like, why would you have this? What is the point? What's wrong with the green card? It works.
Yeah, nothing. That's how guys get laid. Whip out the black card.
Black card. Yeah, well, the dummies that, you know, that they probably get laid by, I don't know what a black card, or I guess the gold diggers would know what it is. Yeah, you would get laid by them.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So anyway, it seems to me that the guy's now, I figured he's, you know, rigged up every, you know, he's got his, he had his war chest. He probably has a, you know, $500,000 in cash they grabbed, put in a, you know, in a Chevy Capri and drove across the border, you know, who knows?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
They'll track him down.
Of course they will. And they'll make a big deal out of it, and he'll wind up in Paraguay with Ken Lay from Enron, who, of course, is not really dead.
It's funny you should say that, because I've always been suspicious about Ken Lay actually being dead.
No, I don't believe he's dead. Where was the funeral? Was it a huge thing, and did everyone come out, or were people protesting? What happened? He got a heart attack, he died in his sleep, or on his way, or, you know, it's not like it was a public collapse. No, I think they protected him.
Well, he had enough money.
Well, he was Bush's best friend. I mean, he flew on his whole campaign, he flew on his jet.
Out of the country in some way, yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I'm not saying that...
Hold on one second, John. Hold on one second. Hold on. Hey, babe. Hello? Hello? Ugh. Okay. My wife just landed. She wants to call and say she landed.
No.
Sorry about that. I'll put it on silent.
Was she in an airplane?
No, I think she was in the car. I hope she was in the car. Let me just tell her. Okay.
So, yeah, no, the Ken Lay things I've always been suspicious of. I, in fact, I was thinking of doing a novel about something like that where the guy's living in some Costa Rica or you know, you could probably do it in Paraguay. Uruguay, I mean, a lot of the Nazis went to Uruguay.
Well, Paraguay. That's where Bush has all that property. You know, that's why he's there. He's hiding out, man.
He could be sitting. You know, Ken Lay. If Ken Lay was down watching the Bush property in Paraguay, you know, the aquifer, and he was like sitting in that house.
Yeah.
Who would care? Know who he was or anything?
No. Nobody.
Nobody.
No.
You know, and all he has to do is grow a beard.
So this is where my theory comes in that. Obama is, well, you know, I believe he's an actor, but this whole administration is Clinton Bush people. So they're you know, including Hillary. So they're still in the game, you know. It's just a new guy, and he's not in the White House. He's traveling around. He's all over the place. He's still campaigning, giving great speeches, does a fantastic job, makes everybody feel good. And I just got to presume he's either Manchurian or he really doesn't know. Because he really, really pulls it off. And it's like he does believe that what he's doing is good.
Well, he's cool as a cucumber.
Although I had to laugh at W-R-E-A-K, Reek. Is that Reek, as in wreaking havoc?
W-R-E-A-K?
Yeah, Reek.
Reeking is wreaking havoc, I think, is maybe.
But do you pronounce it that way, Reek?
R-E-E-K.
But you pronounce it Reek?
I think so. I don't think that, yeah, you must.
Because the Obama speech, he misread it, and he said, wrecking havoc. And I thought it was kind of funny.
Right.
And an A or an E could easily look like a C. So I think
if you're reading from a prompter.
Yeah, it's easy to mispronounce
that. You could make that mistake easy unless you practiced it. He's probably starting to have to cold read because he's so busy. This will be interesting. As anyone who has ever worked on a prompter knows,
cold reading is you got to work it for a while, baby, before you could do that perfectly. It's tough.
Yeah, because you have to actually. It's an interesting trick, and it's not easy to get to it. I mean, it takes years, and he's not going to have enough time. And one of the problems is you have to actually, as you're reading the word, you have to pre-read the word ahead. And then make sense of it so your cadence is correct. And then that's why you find a lot of professional announcers, they've developed a strange cadence. They all have the same one. It's like it's a da 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 da. It's a da 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 da.
Exactly.
Because
the cadence.
You need this certain kind of a pace. Because if you screw up, it doesn't sound that bad.
Exactly.
If you have like long pauses, it just sounds as like that, as if that's the way you talk. You could say wrecking
havoc.
There'll be some other gaffes then.
Oh, yeah.
Those will be recordable.
From Gitmo Nation East, I'm incensed about this. So you recall that there was, and there's a whole backstory to this, which I won't get into, but there were seven or eight so-called radical Muslims who were going to mix up explosives on the airplane and bring down multiple jetliners headed towards the United States. And, of course, this evil plot was foiled. And on the heels of it, now worldwide, you have to put all your liquids into a little baggie, no more than 100 milliliters, and you have to jump through all kinds of hoops, and it's a real pain in the ass. So last year, these guys were basically exonerated because the jury could not convict them of even an intent. They did have chemicals, but they could not convict them of mixing stuff up. They did not have plane tickets. Most of them didn't have passports. So
no plane tickets.
Yeah, it's true. So they dismissed them. And now, all of a sudden, out of the blue, and the press is doing nothing about it. The BBC is the worst. So the jury in the trial of eight men accused of conspiring to murder by blowing up transatlantic airliners has been discharged for, quote, legal reasons. Legal reasons. What? Could you elaborate on the legal reasons, please? It is not yet known why the judge, Mr. Justice Enriquez, took his decision to discharge the jury. So it's like, hey, we didn't get him this time to prove that you have to be our slaves and put all your liquids into a frickin' baggie. We're going to just do over, and we're just going to dismiss the jury for legal reasons. It's outrage. And people don't even remember that this case was already tried. They couldn't convict him. And they just do it all over again. And the media just sits there and go, oh, legal reasons. It's legal reasons. So, oh, it's, of course, it's legal reasons. You know, why even listen to legal reasons? Just
makes me. The Dow just hit 74.99.
Adam Curry. John C. Dvorak.
The Dow just hit 74.
Agenda.
The Dow just hit 74.99. Jury dismissed for legal reasons. This is no agenda. Sounds good, doesn't it? So it's
up. There's probably nothing wrong with that.
Is the Dow up or down?
It's down.
What was it again? 77? No.
74.98 now.
Remember, I called 72.86. 72.86 by February 14th. I came so close. It'll go down. It'll go down even beyond that.
If it cracks, it's done this dipsy-doo once before. Now, the way it did it, the fractal, is that it should go down maybe another 100 points and then rebound tremendously. Or it falls through the floor, and then we have a new floor, which I don't like the idea of because I already called the bottom on November 20th. And I'm not the only one who did that. So, but it'll be embarrassing. That's okay. It's like the stock market, you know. Yeah, I missed it. Nobody gets it right. So what difference does it make? It's all bullshit.
Have you seen gold?
Gold's up.
Yeah. It's just ticking $1,000 an ounce now.
Yeah, I know. So I talked to a lot of people who said, oh, you know, gold's too high. I think I'm going to short it. And I'm thinking, well,
I don't think so. That may not be a good idea.
Well, let me go into some, since you mentioned Hillary being in the administration, which they showed her floating around. And I thought it was going to be a controversy putting her in because, you know, the connection between her and that Clinton library is still something that, you know, I think the Republicans were hoping she's going to get nominated so they could start digging into this thing. The Clinton library, which is funded by unknown people. And the fact that I think Clinton is worth like $100 million all of a sudden or something like that, supposedly from his speeches.
That's very possible.
Does this make sense to anybody?
He makes he does about, I think it's $250,000 per speech. And then, it's like $200,000, may have gone up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm thinking.
So it's possible.
What kind of corrupt system do we have I don't care if the guy's, he's not president anymore and fine, he can go out and make some money. But the fact is what kind of deals can you do while you're in office to avoid the Spiro Agnew effect where you actually asked people to bring a bucket full of money into your office so you could put it under the desk. Apparently, you know, Nixon had a pot full of money that somebody brought
him
to.
Yeah, it's black bagging. It's economic hitman tactics.
That's
black bagging, yeah.
So instead, again, because you can get caught doing that. Because there's always somebody suspicious. But you do these deals, you say, yeah, I don't know. And once I'm out of office, I don't know, maybe if somebody booked me about five, let's see. In your case, I'd say if I got booked five speeches, one at 500 and the rest at 250, that would make up for it. And, oh, by the way, I have this library.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
That's really closed off, you know, but it's looking for donations, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Donations. You know what I'm saying? Donations? Hello? Yeah.
Hello, donations. It's a tax-deductible donation, no less.
Well, it's coming from, you know, the Saudis. They don't need the tax deduction. But, they think that most of the library money is from...
So the real scandal, I'm looking for the link.
You don't think that's a scandal, what I just described?
No, that's peanuts. That's peanuts. Do you realize that over $150 billion that was sent in cash to Iraq is unaccounted for, is gone?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was only
$50 billion or just less.
Who's counting? And you see all these pictures if you Google cash Iraq, you see all these pictures of pallets full of dough.
Yeah, pallets of money.
And you know, and soldiers taking pictures and laughing and stuff, which, of course, I do the same thing, obviously. But I've been hearing for a long time rumors about senior officers getting huge payoffs. And I witnessed some of, not the payoff bit, but when I was in Iraq, I saw how this worked. I mean, it's literally, there's a huge pallet of money that comes in, and there's a guy who sits behind a desk, and people come in, you know, locals, and they're given dollars, and then for whatever purposes, you know, whatever is determined right, they get a fistful of dollars, and they walk out, and the money's just sitting there. I mean, how can this not be used for all kinds of inappropriate reasons? I think that's the scandal, man. That's the big scandal.
That's why we're broke over here.
Here it
we're
is.
Just shipping our money to Iraq and giving it away. What kind of thinking is this?
It's frightening.
Why don't they ship us the money? I wouldn't mind walk. I stand in line. A guy hands me a pot full of hundreds. You know, here's a. You know, have yourself. Here's
because
10
it's
grand.
All, because you don't need to be paid off. You're not important enough. Yeah. They'll just kill you.
That.
They'll just suicide you.
So we need to get more subscribers. We've gotten 100 so far, and we
really?
Need 1,000, and then we need 10,000.
Well, first of all, thank you, everybody who's supporting this show. Go to Dvorak.org/NA to donate. We appreciate it, and the reason why is our money will be gone just like yours. So we need to save up a little bit because we'll need to buy bandwidth and all kinds of stuff.
So we need to get 1,000 subscribers for starters, and we might be able to do that in 10 weeks. I wonder. And then it's $2. You know, it's a $2 a month thing. We get to listen to the show twice. You get to listen to it anyway, free, if you don't want to give us anything.
Yeah, that's fine.
And
too. That's cool.
And we're gonna. And also next by Sunday, I'll probably have a secondary thing because there's a bunch of guys that have written and saying, "Yeah, I don't like this idea. I just want to give you some money to just a one shot thing, like you know, $24 for the year."
Right.
And so I'll set that up.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, we'll take it any way you want
to
give it to us.
Then I'll set up a third one where someone just wants to give us money, you know, like as in the Clinton Library.
Yeah.
So if somebody from Dubai.
Can you put Dvorak.org slash library?
Library.
It's so for the
one. If somebody from Dubai, you know, feels obliged, we'll probably, you know, back off on our complaining. Although there's not much to complain. I got a guy in Dubai who just wrote me, by the way. I'm going to try to get him to be a correspondent.
Dubai
for the
blog. Is screwed, though, man.
Dubai's got. So when I was in Lisbon, I was hanging out with this guy from Dubai. And he was telling me about the Palm. You know, they got all these real estate developments that, and apparently when they started some of these things, you can buy a house for $350,000, and then they went up to like $5-10 million in value, and then they get crashed. They have a crash going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
He says, but the house is still worth like $2 million, and even though it was up to 10, he says the place is completely insane.
Hmm. Well, it's insane because. There's no more money. I mean, oil has been below 34. It hit $33 and change the other day. It's been below $35 for weeks. I mean, the oil producing nations are losing their shirts.
Well, it's because they budgeted wrong. They shouldn't be.
Well, yeah, they budgeted, you know, somewhere between 50 and 150. And from what I understand, it's got to be at least $50 a barrel to make any money. Because it really is.
No, that's not. If you talk to the Saudi guys, they say they get it out of the ground at $2.
Yeah. But, okay. Well, my understanding from a guy I know at a Halliburton company here is that it's really, if you do it in the sea, it's about $50 a barrel, and out of the ground, about $40.
That's bullshit because the historic price has always been 25. And the guys in Iran, the Rachmaninoff, he says that they're budgeting for $25 oil. So that's not.
Yeah, but it's the infrastructure. But it's the infrastructure. You know, it's and everyone's it's been bloated. You know, the whole if they started over again,
maybe they have to get these high prices to pay for what they've.
And it's impossible to find talent. That's my guys are a recruiter trainer. And he says, impossible. It's impossible to find talent. They're now getting idiots, and they're training him. And, you know, he asked me all the time, you know, how do you make video conferencing work so that it'll actually be effective? You know, because he's really trying to train. He's an Army guy. So he's just resorted to Army training, you know, repetition.
And, I can't hear you.
Yeah. So.
Huh.
But Dubai, there's thousands of cars at the airport abandoned. Because in Dubai,
I'd love to get a picture of that.
Yeah, because in Dubai, if you don't pay your debts, like your house or your car payment, you go to jail. They don't just take the car away; they throw you in jail. This is a serious, serious shit. So all these, and they use a lot of contractors and freelancers. So all these people are just like bugging out, going to the airport, hopping on a flight, leaving their car there. There's thousands of cars at Dubai airport.
Let's go get a couple.
Yeah, yeah. There's a country I want to mess around in. That'll be fun.
Oh, it's not bad. I've been there.
I've been there, too.
It's not bad.
Yeah, but you don't want to mess around with the law.
Well, you don't want to mess around. I'm not talking about messing around. I think we should get one of those. I mean, they got to do something with those cars.
It's called theft. They'll give you just
the
flesh wound.
No, the country itself will have to reclaim those cars. They're not going to leave them at the airport forever. And then they'll auction them off, and we should pick a couple up. There's probably a couple of Mercedes. Who knows? There may be a Bugatti sitting at the airport for all we know.
I am so amazed by your priorities.
I need a new car.
Yeah, now that I'll agree with. If we have anything left over from the library fund, we'll get you a car. We'll get you some new wheels. Oh boy.
So anyway, what else?
Well, underreported is the this green comet.
Uh-oh. So we're going to go there already.
Well, NASA reported February 4th that, and they have a picture of it. There's this like green comet that all of a sudden just appeared on everybody's radar. And it's pretty spectacular. On Curry.com, I posted the picture. And, but, you know, the comet... Comets can do interesting things. It is, of course, approaching Earth. I don't want to see like, oh, we're going to get killed by a comet. But
an odd greenish backward flying comet is zipping by Earth this month. Why is it greenish? Because, I mean, there are different, you know,
it's
salts.
It's the gas. I believe it has a gas field the size of Jupiter.
So the gas itself, without it being excited by oxygen. Which is normally how you get these colors, right? You get some salt, you burn it, and it's oxygen, and it turns green.
Right.
That's how you get those little logs that have colors, colorful flames. You get green, red, blue.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just green by itself.
Well, also, you know, people have been reporting.
And what is this backward green comet makes one time only? But what how's it could be one time if it's going to go by? It's got to go around and around.
I don't know. But this is... remember we were talking about the British-French sub-collision?
Right. No.
No, maybe we weren't talking about that.
That just happened, but yeah. What about it?
Well, there's a theory out there that... we have had some massive solar winds recently and some other things in this comet. You know, people are seeing... debris, green flashes of light in the sky throughout the world, and that shit can, you know, particularly solar winds, that can disturb GPS and other types of navigation
equipment. Of problems. Well, that's an interesting theory those guys claim, of course, then again, who knows what really happened with those two subs bumping into each other. They said that they were supposed to do something. They both turned off all their sensors, and then they bumped into each other. What were they turning their sensors off for? It never made any sense to me.
They were running.
What was the point?
They were running silent and deep.
But what was the point? They were supposed to meet up or something. The whole story is kind of vague.
That, of course, I don't know. But there's from all over Kentucky, green light in the sky. Let me see. That's a lot of Kentucky there. Interesting. Some object crashed through a house in New Jersey. A hot rock.
The hot rock. Yeah, yeah. I was amused by that.
The size of a brick.
We blogged this. Some hot rock came from nowhere. They said it was. It dropped into the guy's house and, you know, wrecked his roof. And it was so too hot to touch for a while. And I'm thinking, it sounds like a meteor to me, but everybody that came and said, no, it was forged. It was like a piece of forged
steel.
Yeah,
what do you call it? Cast iron.
Yeah, cast iron. I'm sorry, not forged. It's different. Yeah, it was a piece of cast iron, that hot cast iron that came plummeting down from God knows where. I don't know how that, I mean, comets are kind of like, or not comets, but meteors have a kind of a cast iron quality often. I've looked at enough of them.
Right, so that would make sense, because this is a meteor. And
but if it was a meteor, it would have like had an explosive effect when it hit. It just kind of came clunking down. I don't know if meteors doing that.
Anyway,
they come in pretty fast.
On Curry.com, there's a link to the NASA. It's a NASA story. NASA reports this, so I'm sure there's got to be some truth there. Although you got to question
some.
Everything. NASA
reports global warming too.
Yeah, really. You probably blogged about the Stella Rimington, former head of MI5 in the UK.
Oh yeah, you cannot blog. I didn't make a specific post. Have a link to it.
Right. Warned. She's warned that the fear of terrorism is being exploited by the government to erode civil liberties and risk creating a police state. Creating one. This is like one of those save or create jokes. Come on. It is a police state. Good honor, though, for coming out.
We did blog the fact that it's now illegal to take pictures of policemen.
Yeah, I know. Under the terrorism rule, Act 44 or whatever it is, a policeman can force you to stop taking pictures. It's not necessarily illegal, but now they've just added to the Section 44 that if a police officer, it's not even a police officer, it can be a politician even. It's anyone who's an official within the government. They say stop taking pictures, you have to, or you can get arrested. So, voila.
So what do you think is a green comet? I mean, what?
I don't know.
Is it maybe a publicity stunt for Comet, the detergent, the cleanser? Because it's in a green can.
No, they need more viral videos for it to be a publicity stunt.
See, if I was working for, I don't know who Comet's made by, Procter & Gamble, or I don't know. It could be any one of them. But I would be on that in a minute. The green comet's coming, the green comet, and then have a can of, comet cleanser. I don't know what they're thinking, how they can let this go by.
Speaking of gigs we don't have, but
there's
should.
A green aurora.
I've seen a green areola, but that's different.
Charged particle motion in Earth's magnetosphere. And this is a green one somebody took a picture of.
It's magneto stuff, man. There's all kinds of stuff going on. But no one talks about that. Isn't that? That's interesting, at least. I mean, I'm not saying there's a...
Yeah, this could be distracting. You're looking for stuff to distract people from the Obama, handout to the rich.
No, because it's not interesting. People aren't interested in that. They're interested in high drama. So you get this Stanford guy who has put up like $20 million a match. The $1 million a man match as prize money.
Oh, that's his cricket thing.
Cricket, I'm sorry. And you have to understand that, most sports are sponsored by banks. Banks, insurance companies, and telco. That's pretty much it. And now you've got the Aston Villa guys, the footballers, are not getting paid because the sponsors are pulling out left and right. Formula One, sure, that's logical. It's the most expensive sport in the world. But now regular sport is going to go down the tubes. And it will reset a couple salaries as well, I'm sure, because this has just got to stop. Got to stop advertising. Tony Blair won a $1 million prize for his global leadership.
He needs the money.
Isn't that amazing? That's how these guys do it. That's how they get their money.
So, you get it after the fact. You do your deals. You make your, it's all quid pro quo. Everyone remembers. They keep a little book. And they say, okay, how much? Blair's still down $1 million. How are we going to get it to him? Hey, I got an idea.
Hey, Tony, we'll make you whole, man. Don't worry. We'll make you whole on the back end. Both in the United Kingdom, in London, and in New York, governments are now hiring fired bankers. The Treasury Department in the UK is literally hiring bankers who were fired to come and work for them. That's a making hole if I've ever seen one. Same in New York. It's all the same everywhere. And you blogged about this thing about the in-car GPS charging by the mile. That's they've been pushing that for 7 years in Europe, and it's going to happen. I think it's 2011. It's going to start in the Netherlands. And everyone's up in arms about being charged for flushing the toilet. We went through that. Remember, I looked at my water bill, and they charged me, you know, X amount per 100 cubic whatever's coming in, and they charged me the exact same quantity for it going down. You pay a sewage charge.
It's stupid.
No, it's a ripoff.
Well, it's a ripoff. Yeah, no, they just double the rates with some bogus excuse. You know, if there's a water shortage or anything, you pay for usage. You don't pay for, discharge.
Nope.
What are you supposed to do with this stuff?
Yeah, you pay for it.
If you drink it, you pee it out. But it's always going to go into the toilet.
But the nasty thing is they have no... They're just saying, okay, what came out, we're going to charge you for that going down. But, you know, I make tea, I drink water, use water for all kinds of purposes. It can never be the same as what came out of the tap.
Yeah, never. Unless you're just running the tap.
And they don't have a meter on it. They tried to install one of those smart meters. I'm not responding. I don't want it.
Oh, yeah. Avoid, like, the plague.
Yeah. Like, this is free. You get a new meter. It's really time for a new meter. I'm like, I'm not here. I am not responding to that.
Well, unless you can find, if you do enough research in advance, you can find someone who's hacked the meter.
Yeah, I got so much to do, man.
Just saying, for people out there who want to save money.
So here's what I think the strategy is. I've been watching, so now we have the G20 who are meeting, and they're
also known as the drinking club.
That Japanese guy was friend. I had to put him on Mevio today. I love that guy. I've been in meetings like that. We've all been in meetings like that. Well, what? Particularly consulting for Microsoft. Like, eyes kind of go into little slits there. What do you think, Adam? I think it's a fantastic idea. But it looks like the global bank that they're pushing for, so the bank that will run all of our banking and thus our political system, looks like the IMF is sticking its head up, along with the world.
This is their turf.
Yeah, this is what they do. The IMF and the World Bank, which are, I think, pretty much interconnected. And by the way, the World Bank makes sense because the name's already there. You've got the brand. You've got the domain
name.
Right,
and they managed to put out World Savings and Loan and the World Bank. Yep. All these companies that were named World here in the United States, they've been forced out so the name is clear for the website.
So here's one. All they need to do is call it the New World Bank.
I think that's a bit much. Because the New World, it sounds too much like New World Order. I think it's that
dude,
term.
Everybody's using New World Order. Everybody is using it. Ahmadinejad used it the other day. He said, we need a New World Order. I thought he was supposed to be one of the bad guys.
Well, what they talk about in Iran when they talk about New World Order is not fully understood here. I read a sociological piece, which I kind of mistakenly did not make a copy of, but it was done by one of the top guys at Tehran University, whatever the big school is there. And he was
State.
It was.
Need a hoodie. We need a hoodie from Tehran State, everybody.
They probably have them.
I'm sure they do. They've got iPods.
So, I just got a hoodie from Richmond, Virginia, and I got one from Oklahoma. Anyway, and I credited them on the Twitch. I don't have their names in front of me. Anyway, I'm trying to get one from Florida. One just came. Oh, never mind. I don't want to get on that. But anyway, this guy went on and on about how with the collapse of communism, he says there needs to be, and he showed, he had these diagrams about there has to be these conflicting worlds. And there's no reason why the Muslim world can't take the place of the communist world in this regard. And there's no reason it can't be led by Iran as the brains of the operation. To compete with the West, namely the United States, being the brains of that operation. It was this long argument about how important it was to have these competing theories of life, basically, and theories of government and theories of how things ought to be. that keeps things in a kind of a tense, keeps things in a kind of a flux. And it went on and on. I thought it was very interesting, and it was all oriented toward the creation of a new world order, which replaced the Russian communist Soviet Union with this Muslim Iranian centric, development or whatever, or creation. And that was the new world order in his mind. And when he says new world order, that's what he's talking about.
Okay. Well, Gordon Brown definitely means something else when he's talking about it.
I think there's a difference in their meaning.
Interesting.
I think. Let's hope.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. I mean, Iran might be a good place to go.
I don't know about that.
It's a great place. There's beautiful people.
It's a great
it's
place.
Modern.
I'm not going to argue. I haven't been there. My wife has, but
really?
I don't know if it's a good place to go.
Well,
Paraguay's the answer.
Paraguay. Yeah, now I know for sure that's a good place to go. If you want to be safe, if you want to hang out with cool people and, the only danger is you get nuked, then Iran might not
in
be
Paraguay?
That bad. No, Iran. No, Paraguay's not going to get nuked. Of course not. Kansas suspends income tax refunds, may miss payroll. These states, we talked about that briefly last week. I've looked into that a little bit more. It's actually a very beautiful thing that's taking place. The way the United States worked, the federal government really works for the states. When the original 13 colonies got together, the whole thing is an agreement between states, and states can pull out or they can invoke the 10th Amendment and say, hey, that law or something you set up there, we're just going to ignore that, and you can't enforce that on us. And that's legal, I believe.
Well, I know they're having a big battle about that here in California because medical marijuana is legal here, and a million guys have set up shop.
Hey, man, Obama was going to stop that stuff, man.
And the feds have been harassing these people, and Obama has stopped the harassment, right?
No, the harassment continues. They keep getting rolled up.
No, wait a minute. Obama said he was going to stop it. It's just a matter. He's already issued more executive orders than any other president in this short term. Why doesn't he just issue an order? Stop it.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
This is
No Agenda.
Bringing you the promises from the president.
And it's just the S-T-O-P. That's four words. That's four for six. Six words. Or six letters, I mean. Six crummy letters. Stop it. Signed Obama.
Stop it. Let me give you one last bit, because we should wind it up. We're on a high now. And really, after the Peter Orszag story, what left of the show was there really to do?
Absolutely. I agree.
Since you have an interest in the state of Washington... Now, this is coming from Russian sources, so take it with a grain of salt. They do have video. I don't know if it's, if it's really current. But apparently, Russian Coast Guard and naval forces were forced to sink the Chinese-registered cargo ship New Star, bound for the U.S. port of Seattle, after it refused orders to stop and be boarded over fears it was carrying a missing nuclear warhead from a Russian Topol M intercontinental ballistics missile.
How did I miss that story?
Because no one reports on this, and you were too busy trying to figure out how the guy's black card could be refused, like every other fucking journalist in the world. And I don't mean to put you down, but...
I'm a bad boy.
You ain't my bitch, nigga. Buy your own damn fries.
So I'll blog that as soon as I find it. Send me a link.
Okay. I will. The video is pretty amazing. Because they
blew up the thing. That's
they
great.
Shot at it, and then it sinks bow first. And
target practice.
It probably is. But that's kind of scary.
Yeah, they probably called them up and said, hey, we want to board. And he goes, oh, go speak English. Boom!
Right. Well, no, they didn't blow it out of the water. It doesn't seem like a good thing to do if it's got a nuke on board. They apparently shot 500 rounds into the bow and just got a hole in it. And then it sank. But that's pretty scary. A missing nuclear warhead. So this is Russians reporting this about their own Russian missing nukes. Boo.
Huh. Mm-hmm. So that's not on the Seattle. So you didn't find that on the Seattle. Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You didn't find this story in the Seattle Times on the front page or the Post Intelligencer on the front page. You found it in a Russian newspaper.
Would you call Mimi? Ask her to look at the paper.
I can look at the paper. It's online.
Maybe it's in there.
Well, maybe it is. I think it would be a bigger news story than just, you know, I don't think we'd go around blowing up, you know, cargo ships left and right. I think it would be like, you know, be talked about a little
bit. Well,
the more.
Russians did it, though. The Russians blew up the cargo ship.
Oh, the Russians blew it up. Cause
yeah,
they,
Russian
they blew
Coast
it up
Guard.
Off our coast?
Let me see where it was. It was bound for Seattle.
Oh, it must have been off of Vladivostok or something. It was probably closer
well, was
to Russia
coming,
than it was
coming from China. I don't have a...
Well, that's a scandal if it was headed to Seattle. No wonder there's all these crazy Border Patrol guys up there.
Yeah, they should... Well, you know, there is a... you know, the whole Denver thing that we were talking about. There's a...
Yes, we have to talk about that more on Sunday. Because yes. I got a bunch... We got some good information for some people about, you know, that airport's got 8 layers. It goes deep into the ground, and it's got weird shit going on there.
I told you, runway's covered up. But Denver, there's some significance there. And I'll look up... We'll talk about it on Sunday. I'll look up my links as well. But there was all kinds of stuff about China, and that Denver would be the front in the war against China. You know.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right.
Well, I don't get them all. I never bat 1,000. But I do well enough for you to come back twice a week.
Yes, and I hope people appreciate this show and they give us some encouragement by going to Dvorak.org/NA so I don't have to keep begging for money, which is what I'm going to have to do for the next year.
And people out there listening to this show, and you listen for a reason, you know, twittering and discussing and arguing about me and Leo Laporte is stupid and useless. Okay, focus on something important, like a sign that says "Making America Work," and give me your interpretation of that. Focus on those things, the mountain that's right in front of your eyes. What is going on? What does that mean? Making America work. Do you say it like making America work or making America work? Does that mean we have to work or is the machine working?
How about making America
work?
Work.
I'd like that one.
That'd be good with the Big Brother picture.
From the Ministry of Truth?
It'd be two sentences, making America and then work with an exclamation point.
Oh, fantastic. All right, you got anything else?
No, I'm done.
Really?
I think that was good. I just wanted to get in that thing about the, you know, these tax breaks for the rich really bugs me.
Well, it's, you know what? I can't parse it.
And by the way, Pelosi's mouse, that could get her kicked out of office.
Pelosi is definitely running the show. I saw on, did you see that Frontline documentary? You've got to watch that.
Economy?
It's called Inside the Meltdown. And I love that. It was really good. You see how powerful Pelosi is.
Yeah.
She's very, very, very powerful.
Yeah. She could probably shut down the show.
She or Jackie Smith over here, the Secretary of the Home Office, could easily shut us down. So enjoy it while you can.
Yeah.
And remember,
short-term thing for all we know.
And remember, 2 bullets to the head cannot be suicide.
Just in case you need to know that.
Hey, John. That was fun.
Yeah, it was fast. It was a fast hour.
Well, we're ending about 15 minutes earlier than normal. We really have to try and keep it under 1:30. We're 1:23, so that's not bad. You going to the office? What are you doing?
I have to go do the Tech 5 Top 5, so I'm running into the office.
Oh, cool. Okay. You made me laugh on last week's, I got to say. You got hookers in there. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, we try to get that in once in a while.
That was fun. Did you? I pimped you out, man, on Mevio today.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Thanks for watching. Appreciate it.
I watch it most of the time, but I don't watch it all the time. I watched the one yesterday. It started off with something, and then there was another picture of you.
with something else. And it started off. Today I've got Obama's elf. That's really funny. You got to look at that.
Yeah, we have it on the blog.
That's where I got it from. where do you think I sourced it from?
Material.
Yes, highly appreciated. Coming to you from the Crackpot Command Center in Gitmo Nation East in Southwest London, I'm Adam Curry.
And I'm in the Buzzkill Command Center, much more important, in Northern Silicon Valley, also known as California. Gitmo Nation West, I'm John C. Dvorak.
We'll talk to you on Sunday right here on No Agenda.